mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Any idea how many calories are in a 64-ounce double-gulp soda from a convenience store? 800. How about one of those giant cookies at the cash register? About 700. For a society fixated on weight loss, few of us know how many calories we're taking in. And what is a calorie, after all? You can't see, taste, or smell them, but they're essential to your brain, which certainly knows if you're getting too much or too little. And the more you take in, the more the food industry makes. Why Calories Count is not a new diet book or weight loss scheme. It's a book on the science and politics of calories, loaded with fact-based information on interpreting food labels, diet claims, and your own reactions to what the authors call our Eat More environment. Marian Nestle is professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at NYU. She's author of several books, and she and Malden Nesheim, emeritus professor of nutritional science at Cornell, teamed up for the book. It's their second book together. Marian Nestle is on the line as part of our Shifting the Balance series on obesity. It's great to welcome you to Word of Mouth.
Oh, glad to be here.
So what is it about calories that is so confusing to people?
Well, you can't see them, taste them, smell them, or feel them, and the only way you know how many you're eating is by measuring your weight on a scale on a daily or weekly basis. And there's so much advertising and hype about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat that people forget that body weight is just about calories.
How much should men and women respectively get each day?
Oh, it's an enormously complicated question because it depends on whether you're male or female, how much you weigh, and how active you are. But on average, the measurements tell us that men need about 3,000 calories a day and women about 2,400, which is much, much higher than estimates that come from when you ask people how much they eat and so forth. People invariably underestimate what they're eating.
Well, that's part of the mystery of all this. And you do go through the history of how scientists measure the use of calories from these whole body calorimeters large enough to generate, you know, measuring heat generated by guinea pigs. Calorie counts used to be something that people were very conscious of, or let's say before points and carbs became all the talk. When did we turn away from this kind of calorie consciousness?
Well, I think when it turned out that people couldn't control their weight, obesity rates started going up in the early 1980s. And I think what caused that was an enormous change in our food environment when all of a sudden there was food everywhere. I like to ask the question, when did it become okay to eat in bookstores? And when did drug stores start turning into grocery stores? That's happened very recently. The research shows that the more food that's available in the closer it is to you, the more you're going to eat from it. And many people have trouble dealing with the food environment. So everybody comes in and says, well, if you just don't eat carbs, if you just eat fat, if you don't eat any fat, if you eat this, that, and the other thing, then you're going to control your weight, when really what all people have to do is just eat less of what they're eating.
Well, this is something that you look at a lot of the science showing what happens when our brains and bodies get too many or too few calories, which you just described. But this makes losing weight especially challenging to people. What's going on in the brain when it's not getting the amount of calories that it's used to?
It gets mad.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? The brain is set up to run on glucose, which is the sugar. And if it doesn't get that sugar out of the blood, it gets cross and says, I want more, eat, 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 eat. And there are probably about 100 different physiological factors in the human body that encourage you to eat more when you get hungry in order to keep your brain running. It's really important to keep your brain running. And it turns out that the regulatory system for stopping when you've had too much just doesn't work nearly as well. So people, when they're trying to lose weight and are cutting down on calories, their whole physiology gets really cross. And then once you do lose weight, you don't need to eat as much. So you can't eat the way you used to in order to maintain that weight. And then I'll just add one more thing that makes me cross about the whole thing, and that is when you get older, your metabolism your metabolism slows down, and you don't need to eat as much, and you can't eat the way you used to. I think that's the dirtiest trick of all.
It's a great disappointment to me, I must say. We're talking with Marion Nestle. She's author of several books about food and food politics, and the author of the Food Politics blog and website. Her new book is Why Calories Count, co-authored by Malden Nesheim. It identifies some of the science and some of the stakeholders in what they call a toxic obesity-promoting environment. Well, let's look at that, you know, the environment, the cost of calories to society. You list some of the great consequences of obesity now being so common that in populations in poor countries, it nearly equals the number of malnourished people. So here's where the political comes in. The calories are personal as well as political. So clarify what you mean by that.
Well, the biggest public health nutrition problems in the world are too little food and too much food. Too little food is easier to talk about because it's easier to see how people are not getting enough food because of wars, conflict, corrupt governments, inabilities of national agencies to provide food where it's needed. I mean, we see these shocking pictures of starving children all over the newspapers all the time. That's not because those countries don't have food. It's because that food doesn't get to the people who need it, or the people who need it don't have enough money to buy it. That's about politics. There's no reason for people to be starving. There's plenty of food. The obesity part of it is harder to see, the political part, although calorie labeling would be one example of food politics in action. It's an attempt by governments to inform people about how much food they're eating. But I also think politics comes in the way that the food companies are allowed to market their products to children, the way they're allowed to communicate advertisements about their products in schools, and in general, the way the food industry just puts food everywhere so that you can't avoid it.
This is what you call the eat more environment, right? The bigger, juicier, saltier, sweeter, crunchier messaging from the food industry that you say has turned us into conditioned overeaters.
Yeah, it makes me hungry just to think about it. And the and everybody falls for it. The simplest example is larger portions. Portions didn't used to be so large, and I had a doctoral student who did the research on this, and she showed that large portions started to be introduced in the early 1980s, and they've gone up exactly in parallel with rising rates of obesity. That makes sense. You don't need any more complicated explanation for people eating more than they should, then large portions. Muffins used to be 200 calories, now they're 600. No wonder people are gaining weight.
Well, so should governments be regulating intake as a matter of policy?
Well, governments could do a lot to make the food supply more conducive to healthy choices. Right now, the food supply under government sanction encourages people to eat as much as they possibly can. Nothing does that better than large portions. So I think it should be possible to set up some regulations that put a few curbs on marketing and that make it easier for people to eat less food as a normal course of day-to-day activity. I don't think anybody would notice it. But people eat more if food is in front of them.
Does it matter what they're eating? I mean, if the diet is made up primarily of sugar or carbs or fats, or is it just calories?
Well, from a weight standpoint, strictly a weight standpoint, it's the calories that count. From a health standpoint, it obviously matters where the calories come from. Calories from fruits and vegetables are a lot healthier for you than calories from soft drinks. And the nice thing about it is if you want to reduce your calories, the easiest way to do it is to stop drinking soft drinks and eat more fruits and vegetables. So that works.
How about the role of biology, Marion Nestle? Jeffrey Friedman, you write about in your book, he argues that there are hormonal causes for obesity.
Oh, absolutely. And he's been able to demonstrate that there are regulatory factors that fail in certain people. And those people, no matter what they do, are going to gain weight under these kinds of circumstances. But that's not talking about the average person. The average person, I mean, genetics hasn't changed since 1980 when rates of obesity began to start creeping up and then shot up. What happened since 1980 is an enormous change in the food environment, in which food became available in more places in larger portions, and it became socially acceptable to eat in places that had never been socially acceptable to eat in before, like bookstores and libraries.
Back to the bookstore we are. So do you recommend counting calories?
Oh, no, I don't think it can be done accurately enough to make any difference. Calorie counts are based on very precise weights of food, and if you eat more than that particular weight, you're going to be taking in more calories. So it's really portion size that's the determining factor. If you're trying to lose weight, you want to look at the quantity of food that you're eating and see how, if you can shave off some of that, and the more you can shave, the more calories you'll be conserving. I don't recommend that people not eat certain categories of food. I think people should eat what they like, eat healthfully, and just not eat too much.
Well, Marian Nestle, I want to thank you for some common wisdom that seems somehow hard to get. Marian Nestle, author of several books, and she's professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at NYU. She and Malden Nesheim are co-authors of Why Calories Count, From Science to Politics. You'll find links to visit Marian's food politics blog and read an excerpt of the first chapter from The Atlantic magazine. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. There you'll also find more in our Shifting the Balance series. And we would love to hear your thoughts on the politics of food and the personal relationship with food. You can post your thoughts on Facebook and on Twitter. Coming up, social media sites unite against thinspiration. That's the practice of posting photos and fetishizing anorexic bodies. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.